Okay, we're still over looking in John chapter 5 and 5 testimonies to the Lord. And these testimonies, which on the flip side compose a monument to man's depravity, because man cannot and will not, unregenerate man, receive these things. Thus far we've gotten through three of them. We saw beginning in verse 31, the Lord spoke of his own testimony, which if they knew who he was, they would receive. But they did not. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. And he spoke of the testimony of John, and we looked at that for a couple weeks. Verse 33 says, "You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not, testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." The Lord spoke next, as we looked last week, of his works, which bear witness to his person and to the work itself, in verse 36. "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me." And this week we look at a fourth testimony, which is that of the Father himself, that was manifested several times during the ministry of the Lord. And yet, again, we see that unregenerate man, that man who's dead in his trespasses and sin, man who's totally depraved, cannot and will not receive even these things. And in verse 37 of John 5, "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not." On at least three separate occasions during the Lord's earthly ministry, God spoke from heaven in testimony to his Son. And yet, depraved man won't receive even those testimonies. We just look briefly, it was at the Lord's baptism, and John alluded to that in his ministry and in his testimony in Matthew 3 and verse 16. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him." You know, again, these folks that have so perverted, Brother Dale mentioned the ordinances. how does someone come straightway up out of the water if they had a little water sprinkled on their head? Or had a little water poured over their head? You know, I tell you what, if I was going to be baptized, in the word itself, you know, baptizo means to be immersed, I'd want to be baptized like the Lord was. That's a whole other topic, but again, you just see these things that jump out at you. And yet, again, depraved man's religion won't accept that either. "And when Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Recorded over in Luke, we read in Luke 3 and verse 22, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." The Father's testimony to the Son at the baptism of Christ, as he became an example to us in receiving the baptism of John, like he would have, I think, his people receive that same baptism. Later, you'll remember the Lord is with some of his disciples, and he goes up to the mount that we now call the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 and verse 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. It was almost as if it were for just a moment that the veil was briefly rent away, and they had some glimpse of his glory and who he actually was. And his God incarnate, that he was the very Son of God. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. And answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And it's like, you know, Peter was a little bit slow on the uptake. But, you know, we all are. And what we know by the grace of God. And certainly, you know, the Lord had revealed a lot to Peter, and the Lord had testified that God had revealed things to Peter. But it's like, we need three tabernacles, you know, one to each of you all. And God the Father speaks from heaven. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him! You know, Moses and Elias there were for a testimony of the continuity and of, you know, of the other things. But they weren't there. You know, there weren't going to be a tabernacle for the three of them. No, he wasn't part of that three. He was part of another three that's in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God says, This is my beloved Son! Hear ye him! On yet another occasion, which sometimes is called the triumphant entry, whatever triumph was there in the terms of humankind didn't last very long, wasn't too long before they were nailing him to a tree out there. We read in John 12 and verse 12, And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And if you go down, I won't read the whole passage here, but down in verse 28 it continues. And the Lord says, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. On that triumphant entry again, the Father acknowledged and set forth who this was. And yet, again, fallen men won't receive that. I mean, even a voice that speaks from heaven, they'll dismiss it. The Jews did not receive any of those witnesses, nor did they receive that more profound witness, that more imperative witness that man has to the heart, unless God the Father deigns it. Again, as I was talking to that young man this week on the phone, you know, and just invariably, then they'll have to backtrack. They'll say, well, you know, everybody gets a chance. I say, we don't believe in chance. Oh, no, well, I don't either, but, well, then what? Well, then what? But they invariably will say that. Everybody has to get a chance. I said, if everybody just got a chance, if it was left up to us, we would be eternally doomed. We would be undone. We would be helpless. See, if you don't receive that witness to the heart, in John 6 and verse 44, the Lord says, No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Now, do you think the Father is going to draw someone and that person is going to still not come? How ludicrous is that? No man can come and no man will come. The Lord here in this, in John said, you will not come to me. They cannot come and they had no desire to come. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Who's he going to raise up at the last day? The ones who the Father draws. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Brother, if we're not taught of God, we have nothing. It's the same thing again, reflecting back on what the Lord said to Peter when he said, "Who folks say I am?" And Peter finally says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven." See, and they shall be taught of God. It's not that, you know, they made a decision. You know, they heard a sermon, and they decided to respond. "Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. God doesn't try to do things. He doesn't hope to do things. He doesn't attempt to do things. "Every man that hath heard." We only hear when the Lord gives us spiritual ears. "He that hath ears, let him hear." "Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." And say, well, he gets a chance to come unto me. He can decide if he wants to come to me or not. It's really just all up to him. But everybody gets their chance. I don't know where that stuff comes from. And you could tell us, young man, then we got into I talk the whole terminology about, you know, if somebody got saved. And, well, you know, that's all they've learned to say, and that's all they know they come up with. And once you bring that, I said, where does that come from? Where do you get that terminology from? You don't get saved. God saves you. But you see, the Jews would not receive it. It's like, okay, so the preacher's going to go. I can be persuasive enough to make somebody make a decision? These folks heard God speak from heaven. They heard the testimony of John. They saw the works of Christ. They heard the testimony of Christ. It didn't make any difference. In 1 John, the apostle writes in 1 John 5 and verse 9, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified to his Son. He that believeth in the Son of God hath the witness in himself." He that believeth. The simple English, the simple correlation between the English and the Greek, especially in our authorized versions. He that believeth. He that is believing. It's not speaking, again, of some decision, but the one who's believing. And, you know, why is he believing? Because it was given him of God. But the one that is believing, he that believeth on the Son, hath the witness in himself. He doesn't get that witness because he decided to believe. No. God plants it in there. He that believeth in the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You know, the record's there. It's the monument. It'll be a testimony against them. You know, it's their damnation. They won't receive it. It's there. They'll have nothing to do with it. And again, the Lord says back here in John 5, a little bit further on, and ye have not his word abiding in you. and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. And again, the world kind of turns it all around, the religious world and everything else. So, well, it's like you could get the word if you just believe. No, you don't believe because the word's not abiding in you. It's that simple. It's that true. It's that profound. It's all of God. To him goes all the glory. Nothing to us. You know, they Pharisees heard these words. The folks there heard these things outwardly. They heard this stuff. Some of them had sometimes thought it was thunder or something else, but then some of them heard it, said, "This is my son in whom I'm well believe ye." They had some other explanation. It had no abiding place. It bounced off their ears. And such is the case with all natural, unregenerate man. It's all up to God. It's not up to us. To him be the glory. And the fifth thing, I'm going to try to finish this up today if I go a little bit over. And then, because I'm going to be gone next week and we'll finish up. So, there was a testimony of God the Father. And then, we see the next thing that's mentioned is the testimony of Scripture. In verse 39. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And they are they which testify of me. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not that honor that cometh from God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you to the Father, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how should you believe my words? The testimony of Scripture. And since the close of Christ's ministry, you know, this is the primary and in essence really the only means we have of receiving these other testimonies. We have the written Word of God. We have the preserved Word of God. It is of prime importance. And yet, like all the other four, to the unregenerate, this is incomprehensible. Oh, they can read it. They can study it. There's, you know, great Greek and Hebrew scholars that could break all the stuff down, and they don't get it. They don't get it. They cannot receive that testimony. Psalm 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. We have God's word. We have the Scriptures. They are that which testify to Christ. In Christ, indeed, as he looks to these Pharisees, oh, they claim to be a people of the book. You know, they preserve the writings. They make these claims. The Lord says, search the Scriptures. Okay, he says, okay, fine. You search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. The problem for you is this. And they are they which testify of me. Well, no, they didn't like to hear that. They didn't anymore than they liked to hear when he said he was the Son of God before Abraham was, I am. But it was the flat out truth. They are they which testify of me. It wasn't like sometimes the Pharisees and you know the and others and even within Judaism today. You know, it's like you won't even pronounce the name of God. And for fear that, you know, you take it in vain, or, you know, it's like they have some kind of a mystical or superstitious relation to the Word of God. And I suppose it can happen amongst Christians as well, you know, that end up worshiping the Word rather than the God of the Word. You know, that mystical awe of the words, of the paper and the ink. Even though God has preserved this, it's not a lie. It doesn't do anything until God first gives us life. And then it opens it up. And I always think of that little book we read when I was a kid. I don't even know what the name it was, but a little duck that carried around a book under his arm. And he thought that, you know, he was smarter than everybody else. And so, you know, he was smarter than all the other barnyard animals because he carried this book around under his arm. He couldn't read it. He didn't know what was in there. But, you know, that's kind of the educated fools we see in this world today. Not much different than that. No, Lord, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The Bible is not an end unto itself. It is a means to bring us to God and to godliness. And it only brings that sensible sinner, the one who's been quickened by the Spirit. The Jews saw the sacrifices of the law. They saw the law itself as an end unto itself, without seeing and accepting the Christ that law pointed to. You know, these things were just seen. That was the end of it. These rites, these rituals, these ceremonies. And it's little different today with the ritualists of the various Christian so-called religions. Even they'll take and make such emblems, you know, as the Lord's Supper or baptism into the reality itself. It's like that's what matters. And again, as I'm studying through Galatians, and Paul deals with that with the saints in Galatia, it's like, how can you all want to go back under the law into those things when you've got the liberty and freedom in Christ? It's incomprehensible, but such is the state with lost man. The Scriptures testify of Christ. The Lord said that these Scriptures are of me. Yea, he says Moses wrote of me. John 5, verse 46. The Lord says, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. God gave these things to be hearkened to be listened. God would raise up. In Luke, we read in Luke 16 and verse 29, and yet another testimony to man's depravity. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You know, as the Lord was speaking to the rich man in hell, and the rich man said, send somebody back! Send somebody back! Or send Lazarus back! Send someone back to warn my brethren! Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. You know, just like they'll repent when they hear the voice from heaven. Or like they'll repent when they hear the testimony of John, or they hear the testimony of the Lord, or the testimony of the Father. Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. There's man's depravity. And of course, ultimately, the one did rise from the dead in a thoroughly unique fashion, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that didn't cause these folks to flock to him either. man's depravity. And again, we see all the glory goes to God. It wasn't because, you know, that, well, it's like, can I be a better preacher than God the Father speaking from heaven? I'm going to persuade men that weren't persuaded by hearing that? No, it's all of God. It's all of the Father. Not only Moses, but all of the Old Testament prophets wrote of him. Acts 10, verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The Lord himself, after his resurrection, as he's walking amongst some of the disciples, then said he unto him, in Luke 24, verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, what a lesson that would have been. Huh? The Lord took and just opened a book and started showing every place. Continues down verse 44 of Luke 24. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. All must be fulfilled that was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Lord, open our understanding that we might understand the Scriptures. You know, otherwise it's paper and ink. It's an exercise, you know, in memory or in study or an investigation. But until he opens the understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. What a glorious, glorious thing. And searching those Scriptures are important. But that's for the child of God. You know, the lost man can search and search and search and never come to under any understanding. In Acts 17 we see, speaking of the Bereans, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the words with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Here's the prophets. They wrote these things under the inspiration of the Father. They didn't completely comprehend it all. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. Then it testified before, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Again, Peter writes in 2 Peter 1 and verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now, Peter said, listen, I was there. I heard that voice from heaven. And we would say, wow, you know. Now, man, if we could have been there, we'd be better Christians. Or, man, if we could have been there, you know, or somebody else would have received those things. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were in the Holy Mount. But But you see, today we have the scriptures. And here's what Peter goes on to say after he just said that. He said, I was there, I heard this, I saw this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Peter says, we've got something better. You've got something better than even that voice that we heard. He goes on, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We've got a more sure word of prophecy. But again, until the Lord opens our understanding, we can't even receive that. And we can look back on some of those other testimonies that the Lord spoke of, and we weren't there, we didn't hear John. We weren't there. We didn't experience the Lord's earthly ministry, We didn't hear the Father speak from heaven. We didn't see the Lord's work. We didn't see these things and hear these things. But there's a more sure word of prophecy. In that sense, we're not at any disadvantage. But even that will not be received until the Lord opens the understanding. But again, that monument to man's total hereditary depravity. But it is also a monument to God's grace. Because God opens the understanding of His people. God gives life to those that are His. God gives them an understanding like He gave to Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we're not taught of flesh and blood, but of God. By God's grace, we receive those things. As glorious and wonderful as they are, we would not receive them elsewise. And the Lord, there in John 5, in verse 40, said, and ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. You won't do it. There's all this out there. There's all the, but you won't do it. They reject the truth of God. And such is the state of fallen men. And all who reject, and I'll just close on this note. Brother, and that's why the world's in a mess it's in today. They reject this testimony, and when they reject this testimony, you know what they will receive? Any other deception that comes along. Verse 43, he says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. You say, how can these people think that way? How can they receive? I look every day, I read articles, I look at what's going on. How in the world can people think this way? It makes no sense. How can people adopt this theology? Or how can they adopt this philosophy? Or these political... How can they do that? I'm come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Our only hope, and the only hope for all of lost mankind, is the grace of God. is the work of God, is the quickening of the Spirit. That's the only hope. And it's a great hope. And God's sovereign. And He will bring His to Himself. And they will receive these testimonies. And the rest of them, we're called to proclaim these things. We're called to proclaim these truths. But we shouldn't got to get up in a corner and start booing because they don't listen to me. No, they're not going to listen to me. They wouldn't listen to God. You think they're going to listen to you? No, it doesn't work that way. By God's grace, may we keep on. May we continue to proclaim the truth. And God, as he so determines, will open men's understanding, those that are his, those whom he's determined, and to him be all the glory. Let's take our hymnals this morning and stand and sing a closing hymn together, number 405. Follow on. 405. All the way in the back.
My Savior, I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow, follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. With his hand to lead me, I will never, never fear. Danger cannot fright me if my Lord is near. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus anywhere.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day. Thank you for this fellowship. We pray for our brother that's away from us today, that you keep him safe. Bring him back to us. Oh, we pray your hand on all of us as we want to assemble next week, that you guide our paths, that you keep us faithful. Father, we thank you for your marvelous grace. Lord, we consider all the great testimonies unto our Lord. And surely, Lord, men would hear these, men would receive these, and yet they do not and cannot. And Lord, it tells us not only the darkness of man's heart, but Lord, how glorious is your grace, that you overcome these things, that you open the ears and the hearts of your people to understand and receive these things. Lord, we thank thee that you've taught your people those same things that you taught the prophets, that you taught the Apostle Peter. And Lord, we know we have no credit to take for that, Lord. There's no glory that should come upon us, but all upon thee. Father, thank you for that love that spans eternity. It was poured upon your people even before they were. Lord, we can't comprehend such love, but we thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be the recipients of it. Lord, might we be that people you would have us to be. Lord, we pray your hand on our sister churches, on our brothers in the ministry, on our sisters and brothers in the Lord. We pray, Lord, for grace to stand in these dark days in which we live. And Lord, we pray for the understanding to trust in thee. Lord, to realize we can't turn things around. We can't make things better. Lord, that it's all in accordance with your divine plan, and that you'll accomplish what you will. And Lord, we thank you for the wonderful knowledge that all things work together for the good of your people. Lord, that you're sovereign and that you love your people, and that you're working your perfect plan. And Lord, we thank you that we can take comfort in that, even when we comprehend not the things that transpire about us. Again, Lord, thank you for this, your fellowship, this, your church, for one another. Thank you for our blessed Savior. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.